Jeff Minnerly, Reader.
The Last Battle by C.S. Lewis. Dizzy from being knocked down, that he hardly knew what was happening, until the Calarmenes untied his wrists and put his arms straight down by his sides and set him with his back against an ash tree. Then they bound ropes round his ankles and his knees and his waist and his chest and left him there. What worried him worst at the moment, for it is often little things that are hardest to stand, was that his lip was bleeding where they had hit him, and he couldn't wipe the little trickle of blood away, although it tickled him. From where he was, he could still see the little stable on the top of the hill, and the ape sitting in front of it. He could just hear the ape's voice still going on, and, every now and then, some answer from the crowd. But he could not make out the words.
"I wonder what they've done to Jewel," thought the king.
This is from Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. Where I want to start telling is the day I left Pensy Prep. Pensy Prep is the school that's in Agerstown, Pennsylvania. You've probably heard of it. You've probably seen the ads, anyway. They advertise in about 1,000 magazines, always showing some hotshot guy and a horse jumping over a fence. Like as if all you ever did at Pensy was play polo all the time. I never even once saw a horse anywhere near the place. And underneath the guy and the horse's picture, it always says, "Since 1888, we've been molding boys into splendid, clear-thinking young men." Strictly for the birds. They don't do any damn more molding at Pensy than they do at any other school. And I didn't know anybody there that was splendid and clear-thinking at all. Maybe two guys? If that many? And they probably came to Pensy that way.
This is from Weary Feet, Rested Souls, A Guide to the History of the Civil Rights Movements by Townsend Davis. The island lacked modern facilities. Many residents ate the food that grew wild and in their fields and sold what they did not eat in Charleston. Sometimes the rivers and forests were bounteous. A hard season produced bouts of malnutrition. It was not uncommon to see wood houses wallpapered with newspaper and paste. Until the construction of Hout Gap High School, 1861 Bo Hickett Road, in 1951, schools for blacks only went up to 7th grade, with one teacher for all grades. Despite these difficult conditions, John's Island was fertile ground for movement organizing. Many people owned their own land, which gave them a measure of independence. Some had participated in successful strikes in the oyster and fish trades, and others had heard about blacks voting during Reconstruction. South Carolina had been the site of several pioneering legal cases involving teacher salaries. But in the 1950s, Charleston itself was still hamstrung by segregation, and John's Island was its majority black outpost.